For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
All right, we are back. The home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Still to come, another chance to get qualified for the Dr. Pepper perfect season.
May I ask you a question? Do you need me to come up with a question today, or do you have one?
I have one, but...
Okay, now we can alternate.
Okay.
I'll do the one tomorrow.
All right.
Are we going to have any days where we have two?
Yeah, oh yeah, we'll have to. Because there are fewer than... We've got 22 left to go, and there are fewer than 22 shows before...
So is August 24th the last day we're qualifying?
Yeah. Yeah, the Friday before the Friday before right. game week. Because once game week is on, then the contest is on.
Absolutely.
We're gonna have games and point spreads.
So the week of the – Monday's the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th. So basically we've got 15 days plus a couple this week. So, yeah, we'll have to have four or five shows where we do a couple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll do one today, though.
Cool.
We're just dipping our toe in the water. We're whetting everyone's appetite.
One today, one tomorrow.
And then next week we'll have to double up some.
I love it.
And if we have some situations like, you know, last year where we ended up never getting a winner in a day because I guess the question was like ridiculous or something, but we might have three times in one day. You just never know. Like we said earlier in the week, we can pretty much do, we're in charge here.
We're Al Hayes.
Yeah. From 4 until 7, we're in charge.
But as of now, I'm in command here.
Right. That's how it works. And right now, we'll introduce you once again to our friend Tyler, who will deliver another 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you did a great job yesterday, so we brought you back.
Yeah.
Don't screw this up. Fire when ready.
You didn't kick me out after yesterday.
This
so
is
that's
radio.
A good sign.
There's nothing worse than messing up in radio.
That's right.
Okay, so as I mentioned yesterday in the 5 at 5, NFL football returns tonight. With the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Ravens at 8 on NBC, never too early to predict things, what 2017 playoff team will have the worst season in 2018?
This is a very good question. Okay, let's run through the playoff teams.
I have them right here if you need a refresher.
All right,
from the AFC, you had Tennessee, Kansas City, Buffalo, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, and, of course, New England.
Buffalo.
From the NFC, you had Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, the Rams, Minnesota, and Philly.
Buffalo. I mean, their quarterback depth chart is Nathan Peterman, A.J. McCarron, and Josh Allen.
Peterman here.
I did that a couple months ago.
Yeah, we went through.
I went back. I looked at like
the 80s.
Yeah, and if a team was like 1-15 or 2-14, I looked at their quarterback depth chart. Buffalo is the worst.
I think the closest we found was at the Colts 1 year had Mike Pagel as the starter.
Mike Pagel and then Schliester.
Yeah, who was a very good player in college. Had some other issues.
Yeah.
But no, it was if it's not the worst in the last 35 years, it's on the Mount Rushmore of quarterback awfulness depth charts.
Yeah.
So Bills Mafia is not going to have much to jump through tables for. I mean, they're still going to do it.
They're going to do it, yeah, but no.
Not in a celebratory way.
Back to jump through what now?
Tables.
You never seen them do that?
The Bills Mafia?
Oh, like the wooden tables, like they'll jump.
Yeah, they'll like body slam each other through those tables.
It's like West Virginia's couch burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of go like Attitude Era WWE at their tailgates.
Yeah.
It's their thing.
Now, Tyler, do you have to move this coming weekend or last weekend?
This weekend.
Okay, have you ever thought about just instead of moving a couch, just burning it?
I have not.
It's not a bad idea, actually, come to think of it. What do you got to do? You got to get a permit for that, right?
Probably.
I think you've seen me burn things.
Yeah, I did.
When the dogs are playing.
That was just a shirt, though, or something.
I think
there's a chair, too.
Okay.
My complex would probably frown upon that, most likely.
You're moving out.
Yeah, just do it and ask for forgiveness later. You know, just, what was that wrong?
But then I need a couch, because I only have one.
Well, you just, that's what you call mom, and like, hey, listen, yeah, didn't feel like moving this thing.
I burned it.
My buddy, so we burned it.
What happened to the couch you have? I burned it.
So, by the way, I got to throw this out there, too. So, last night, I'm watching a 007 movie, and it is at one of the points of the movie where I'm saying, is that one of the sirens in the streets of London, or am I hearing something else? No, it was the alarm going off on campus. So, we went to our friends, which live on the lower level. I text you, some other friends in Oconee County, because we get on the news. And listen, better safe than sorry, no complaints here. I'm watching Glenn Burns on Channel 2, my buddy David Chanley on Channel 5. And it just looks like there's this enormous system sitting on top of it. It wasn't raining in Five Points. And I'm texting you, and I'm looking at this like, and Emily and I are like, oh my God, Brame, you know, Brame and Lyndon Bodie, they better be in the basement right now. You weren't even aware.
I was watching Better Call Saul. I get the text from Jeff, and it's, are you okay with this weather? And I'm like, there is no weather. It wasn't raining. There was nothing. You're like, turn on Channel 5. So I did, and when I turned on Channel 5, it did appear that I should have been in an active tornado.
Yes,
I mean,
it did.
David Chanley was there. There's rotation here. And I'm like, well, that's pretty much right over this house.
Oh, no. I mean, the line was right on Bishop, right where you live.
Yes. And there was no tornado. There was not even any storm, and it wasn't even raining. So, I mean, I asked, is it possible like their equipment was malfunctioning last night?
If I remember correctly, I was watching Channel 2 because I was in a place where the red was right on top of me and there should have been tornadoes. I had all my family members calling and texting me and stuff like that. But I think Channel 2 said something about it being so high up, it wasn't getting like an accurate reading.
What being so high
their,
up?
The
satellite? The
yeah,
equipment?
Something like
okay.
that. Like it wasn't reading it correctly or something. I think that's what I heard.
And again, better safe than sorry, but it was, I mean, you know, we're locked into this for like 90 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the point that, like, it wasn't anything I was worried about because it's like, well, I should be in a tornado right now, and clearly I'm not. And then I called my parents. I'm like, is it storming? And my mom was like, huh? Let me go look. So I took that as a no. And what were they doing? They were just watching TV.
Well, the only thing I heard of happening was in Social Circle, which is actually where my dad works. His store lost power. In all of this, there were some trees down and like a couple of homes damaged. That's the only thing I've heard from the entire storm, though.
Well, that's good. I'd rather miss that way than think, oh, this is going to be nothing and it be horrible. But even, like I said, it wasn't raining. And then I live right in Five Points, and we were at Emily's sister and her boyfriend's, and he's right off of Baxter. So, we're less than a mile from the stadium. You know, you hear the siren going off and it's not raining. And then they're saying, well, I mean, it looks like, and David Chanley obviously knows the campus. He went to school here. Then he goes, well, it looks like, down on South Millage Avenue, it just looks awful. Just looking at the radar. And they had, there was the map of Athens. I'm like, well, I'm literally, a mile and a half from there?
Well, yeah, because that's how it was with me. It's like there was this red blob, and then there was this green circle, and that's where he was like, "Oh, that's rotation. That's a tornado." And I'm like, "Well, no, it isn't, because I'm standing right here. I even went outside just to like see. Well, could I even hear thunder in the distance? I didn't hear that. Nothing. There wasn't even a breeze.
No. So again, thank goodness. And I do wonder, like you guys are saying, if there might have been some sort of malfunction last night. Because I'm telling you, it was, when you hear that siren go off on campus, and then I got the notification, and
that's an automatic 1 hour delay at Foley, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I started texting you and all my buddies who live out in Watkinsville, and wait, what? Oh, No.
When you you're like, yeah, that's the text I got, and I was just sitting there. Well,
I'm
into season two of Better Call Saul.
My buddy Clay lives out off of Colum Ferry Road, and he said, like, no, we're good. So, well, it started raining a little bit now, but that was just – I do wonder if there might have been a little bit
there
of
had
malfunction
to have been.
Last night. Because,
yeah.
Again, just looking at this, when it's not raining and I'm right in the middle of Five Points, right next to campus, and they're saying that basically South Millage Avenue down past the softball fields where it hits – was that Whitehall down there?
Yeah.
That so I'm maybe 2-3 miles from there that it's – just looks like there's a tornado, but there's no way.
No, and that was coming from, like, the, direction from where I live.
Right.
And then.
That was just, so anyway, if anybody's got any other harrowing stories, my buddy Tree sent me a good one last night of none other than the great Clancy Wiggum. Just everybody panic.
Yeah.
But
this is one where last night the Kevin Bacon from Animal House would have applied.
All is well.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anybody else got a little bit worried last night,
well, I appreciate you though checking in on me.
Of course. By the way, Adam Wynn tweets in: the Doppler radar was too far away, and the signal was too high up to get a ground reading. Rotation was in the upper atmosphere. Thank you, okay. Adam Wynn.
Yeah. Now, hearing that again, that's what they said.
Doppler radar.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. So it was there.
Yeah, something wasn't. Yeah. Obviously, the weather was a little, it was funky looking.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were, like, breaking into coverage and basically telling us that there was a tornado.
I tweeted at, so I had the radio on a WSB out of Atlanta to see what was going on.
Right.
So, I tweeted it because Jennifer Griffiths was doing the news, and we used to work together back at WGAU. So I tweeted at her, then I tweeted at David Chanley. Well, guys, I'm in Five Points. It ain't raining. We can hear the siren.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, they continue. They did a great job, Channel 2, Channel 5. That's what I watched. They both did a great job of covering it. But it basically turned out to be essentially.
It was a big nothing burger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys talked about the weather because that actually perfectly leads into my next question.
All right.
Of what is the worst weather you've ever experienced at a sporting event?
I attended a Dolphins game that Kevin Butler kicked the game-winning field goal that was played in a mild tropical storm. It might have even been at that point technically a tropical depression. And there was Miami the night before the Hurricanes had played Pitt. They had a little running back named Curtis Martin.
He wasn't bad.
Miami barely escaped that night, but that game was also played in that same tropical system. So those were both pretty bad. But the worst that I remember, because I left early, was that Tech game in 04, where it just rained and rained and rained, and it was really cold, and it just was not fun sitting out there. And I left and went home. I think that's the worst for me. I've never been into a game and just, like, brutally, like, some brutal cold.
We've had cold games. I remember, like, Ole Miss in 2000, a couple of Auburn games.
Auburn game just a few years ago was, like, freezing.
Yeah, it was really, really cold. We had the Kentucky game in 13 here. It was really cold. But, not like you see if you're watching a Bills or a Broncos game or something like that.
Remember that Arizona State game where it poured all day, but then it didn't rain during the game, though?
I remember going. It was as bad as I'd seen here at Sanford. Before the Kentucky game in 2015, that morning was awful. Was absolutely awful. That was the hardest, along with Arizona State, that I can remember. When I was a kid, I actually got in a car wreck that day. Georgia Southern in 1989, they brought in lights to Paulson Stadium and played Middle Tennessee State on a Thursday night, 180 miles from the eye of Hurricane Hugo.
The Hugo Bowl.
Yes, and it was one of those deals. I was keeping TV stats for that game. I was a junior in high school. But, you're 180. I mean, like, Hilton Head was evacuated. Savannah was evacuated. But, like, this was Georgia Southern's first game on national TV. Like, so we're going to play.
Yeah.
So they played in a hurricane.
Yeah, the 04 Tech game's the worst for me, though, because at least in that tropical system, it wasn't freezing cold. But it was just cold that day with that. Just a nasty cold rain that never let up.
Thank God we won.
But that I wasn't alone. That place emptied out at halftime. It was miserable.
I was in Honolulu when that happened.
It was not raining there, right?
And I was just freaking out watching the game. God, no, where are our fans?
I tell you, we're going home to watch it on TV.
Like, we were winning 16-0 at the half, and I think everybody thought, we got this.
Yeah.
And then that was the Reggie Ball.
I know. I did miss that. I think it stopped raining, though, in the second half, if you had hung in there. But it just
– Go-to.
I'd had enough. I went home. That dastardly Kevin Butler, though, he kicked that field goal in that that one game.
To beat the Dolphins.
Yep.
How about you, Tyler? You got one you remember?
Well, I don't know if you count it as a sport or not. NASCAR race.
Sure.
3 years ago, the spring Atlanta race. It was about 42 degrees and misting all day long. The race still happened.
Oh, they
got it
still
in completely. But, yeah, it was some miserable, brutal weather.
Now, if you want to talk about cold, just and we can all blame DJ. Can all, there's very little colder than February, early March, college baseball. You could just get some just brutal. I think it was Coach Strickland's second year. We were playing Florida State, and it started to snow.
That's miserable, too, because you're just sitting there and freezing.
Yeah. It's cold. And the other thing, too, in baseball, like you were saying in April, you kind of think once you get into April, you're through it. There'll be some night games in April where it is just brutally cold.
Yeah, I remember like we played Tech in April here, and it was freezing.
Yeah,
the temperatures dipped below 40. Yes. Yeah,
it was bad. And David, I did a game over at Clemson. Good gosh, this must have been 8-9 years ago before their new stadium and new press box. And it was one of those around like April the 10th. So you think you're clear of it? It was something like 38 degrees, 30 mile an hour winds, and they had in those days the visitors' radio booth, there was a little ladder in the back that the TV crews used, and there was a little hatch to get up on the roof to shoot the footage. So that thing kept opening. So we were just in this wind tunnel. And it was 38 degrees, 25, 30-mile-an-hour winds. And we walked out of that thing. That's one of those – I don't even remember if we won or lost.
Yeah.
It was just so cold.
You just remember you were cold.
I was just ready to get it over with.
Yeah.
And we walked out of there, and it's like – this is April, right, in Clemson, South Carolina. I mean, it felt like it was December, and we were at, like, a Bills-Packers game.
Yeah, I don't like cold when you're cold for a long time. I could tolerate it for,
I'll tell you what. You know, talk some heat, the 14 Clemson game and that 2012 Buffalo game. Those are two of the hottest games I've ever been
to. Well, the Clemson game, I guess, the one over there in 03 where they ran out of water or ice, yeah.
Both.
All right, Tyler, what's next?
Okay, so before this next one, I have
Munson
to ask.
I love that question, by the way, yeah. Tyler.
Have both of you seen the movie Dodgeball?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay. One of my favorites.
Yeah. All right, so on August 8th, next Wednesday, ESPN2 will become ESPN8, the Ocho.
On 8-8
for the entire
24
hours.
They've done that before.
They did that last year. This will be the second year they've done it. So in addition to showing the movie twice on the day, the day will be filled with odd sports, competitive eating, lumberjack games, cornhole. My question is, what is your favorite obscure sport to watch?
That's a great question. By the way, a lot of that stuff that we've seen them show, I remember last year, Chris, you ran through what the lineup was, and I'm like, well, that's a lot better than having guys just scream at each other all the time.
Well, it looked like what they used to show.
Right, that's what they started out as.
Australian rules football.
Things they could get the rights to really cheaply, right?
Yeah.
Right. Because it was like Australian rules football, AWA wrestling in the afternoon, and it was far better than this. I liked Aussie rules football. I enjoyed that when I was a kid with the guy with the Panama hat who would give the signal. You know, Wide World of Sports introduced us to a lot of stuff. And by the way, ESPN2 used to show late night a great show called Cheap Seats, and it was kind of a takeoff on Mystery Science Theater.
With those brothers.
The Sklar brothers.
Yeah.
And they would show these old obscure sports from like Wide World and the early days of ESPN, and they would just sit there and comment on it all the time.
My favorite obscure sport, though, that I remember watching on ESPN when I was a kid was roller derby.
Roller derby's great.
And they would they would like fight. And you'd have the women would go, and then the men would go, and they would put each other in headlocks and stuff like that. But Yeah, roller derby.
I watch cliff diving.
That and women's tennis. I watch that obscure sport quite a lot.
OSQ, Obscure Sports Quarterly. I watched cliff diving one time. That was pretty good because there are a lot of belly flops on that.
Yeah.
The lumberjacking's not half bad. You'll probably remember this from ESPN. I used to watch on, I think it was Friday nights. They would have a PKA. They'd have professional kickboxing.
I remember that.
I enjoyed
that. They had AWA wrestling too.
AWA wrestling that's where I was introduced to the Road Warriors. But I'll go Aussie Rules football. That'd probably be my number one.
And I'm roller derby.
Yeah. I would go with competitive eating.
Oh,
that's gross.
That's nasty.
I love the hot dog competition.
Oh, that is
on the
disgusting.
4th of July. I don't know.
I can't watch that.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Just people, I mean, they're just shoving hot dogs in their mouths. And the buns gross me out the most because they dip them in water.
Yeah.
Let me say this to it. I'll say, for, as gross as it is, if you're going to have a hot dog eating contest, to me, it kind of goes against the purity of the sport. I think you should have to actually eat the hot dog, like the dog in the bun. Would you agree?
I agree,
with that?
Yes.
I mean, you got to eat. That's just like, all right, you want to have a contest? There was a guy, rest his soul. Great Georgia fan from Portal, Georgia, named Edward Moats. Used to come up. I was part of their crew a few times. My buddy Marion Holsey, Bob Deal, all our Statesboro guys. We'd leave at 6 in the morning and come here. That man, before we beat East Carolina in 1990, and that was a 1 o'clock kickoff, ate 12 varsity chili dogs.
Oh!
I think he had about 50 wings, too. But anyway, here's my point. He actually ate, you know, the chili dog itself. Not like eating this, you know, the competitive eater. So I would have put my man Edward. I'm like, no, if you're going to be a competitive eater with dogs, you got to actually eat the hot dog.
Well, I think it started out like that.
It
but
should.
Then as, I guess, strategy evolved, it's like, okay, well, you're going to eat it all anyway. Eat the hot dogs first, then eat the buns.
No good.
For the purpose of speed, I guess.
Yeah, but I think you ought to have to eat the entire
hot dog. Yeah, because that's where it's cheating, where I think if you had the hot dog and the bun, they wouldn't dip it in the water.
Exactly.
Then.
Right.
Yeah. I can't believe you watched that.
It's disgusting.
Oh, it's, yeah. Now, vile.
When my man Edward Moats was eating it, that was pretty cool to watch. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's having another one.
That hot dog, I don't, that's not even something that I'm remotely interested in watching
watch
on the 4th of July.
I have to turn it. It makes me sick.
Well, I guess I'm the only one here then.
No, well, hey, you're obviously not alone. That thing is wild.
They show it on TV.
Yeah, no, it's
well,
legal.
And it has like, I mean, there was actually controversy from this last one,
right,
which was a huge deal.
They missed counting a plate, which I think Chestnut set a new record.
Yeah, and that was a big deal because there's quite a gambling handle on that now. There were there was $1 million, over $1 million bet on that.
I'm not surprised.
If you're in Vegas on the 4th of July, getting up at 8 a.m., to bet on the hot dog eating contest, you might have a problem.
You might have a problem, yeah.
Okay, I think we've got time for about one more here.
By the way, that's a great question. Obscure sports. And ESPN used to really – but I love the Aussie Rules football.
Yeah, man. I liked that too. Yeah.
Loved it.
All right, so the ultimate college beer, Natty Light, is going to be giving a recent college graduate the self-promotion of a lifetime. Next month, when NASCAR kicks off their playoffs in Las Vegas – Chris Buescher's number 37 Camaro will be wrapped in a recent college grad's resume. The hood will feature the resume itself, and the sides of the cars will have the phone number, a list of skills, and their photo. So
excellent.
If this promo existed when you guys were fresh out of college, what honest skills could you list, and how cringy would your photos be?
By the way, I was already doing this, so.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I still have no skills. What my photos would look like?
Yeah,
I'd probably have had a pretty good photo. Now my high school photos would have been something though.
Well, I mean, you had the hair going.
Yeah, I had earrings.
Did
and all
either
that
one
stuff.
Of you guys have a mullet at
no,
that point in time? Okay,
I pretty much have always brain can. I pretty much always looked exactly how I have now, kind of the same haircut. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've changed up over the years, but yeah, when I was fresh out of college, I'd have had like, yeah, I mean, I've got 4 holes in my ears.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd have had that. I'd have looked real smooth on top of a NASCAR hood.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a good idea, though. Now, who's it? Chris Buescher?
Chris Buescher.
I've never heard of him. Is he a good driver, or is he going to wreck out, and that's going to be the end of it?
He's mid-pack.
Got 3 laps
out
of you.
He's mid-pack. Okay. Last year.
Now, does he drive the Natural Light car?
So he's actually primarily sponsored by Kroger.
Okay, but they sell natural light.
Kroger does like brand-to-brand advertising, so different races he'll have, you know, different brands on his car that are associated with Kroger.
Okay.
When they go to Vegas, he has Natty Light and with an associated sponsorship of Barstool Sports.
Okay.
Because those kind of go hand in hand. So this year, for the playoff race next month, they're going to let one lucky recent college graduate advertise themselves on the car.
Let me say this about that. Natural Light, or the late, great Leon Farmer, a great bulldog, a great man, had told me once a secret for Natural Light. He said, well, it's really like Bud Light that doesn't quite make the cut. So, like, if Bud Light has to have a grade of, I don't know, I'm just making this up out of thin air, has to have a grade of, say, I don't know, 98 to get to be Bud Light. I mean, you could get a Natural Light that was basically like a 96, and it tastes just like Bud Light. But then you might get one that was, you know, like a 72 or
so
something.
So it's like a the purity of it.
Right.
I just recently watched Breaking Bad again, you know, and they're like, my meth is a 96% purity.
So you could get Natty Light that pretty much tastes exactly like Bud Light, or some that didn't.
Well, everyone I've ever drank was very, very watery. So I guess I got ones on the low end.
Just
then.
Got on the low end. But, you know, you could luck up and get some. Yeah, I was always a dad.
Are you entering this contest?
I'm not a recent college graduate.
Oh, you're still
in. Until
He's
May.
Still in school?
No. Sorry, I don't think I qualify. Maybe next year, if they do the promotion again, it'd be worth a shot.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna have to – I got to remind myself because I want to see that car wrapped in some kid's resume. With his picture on the car.
Well, and it's funny because the picture will be on the on the quarter panel of the car, which is the one area that is most likely to get hit if it does.
Right.
What happened to that guy's nose? Jimmy Johnson cut him off.
Yeah. All those dangerous drivers.
Oh, that's great.
All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution still to come.
Mm.
We don't know when, though. We can't confirm if it's going to happen next or if it's going to happen later, but more qualifying for the Dr. Pepper perfect season. It's the home team on 960 The Ref. But first, this Southern Sports Center brought to you by Georgia Milk Producers. What's your milk mood? Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Milk On My Mind. The preseason coaches poll was released today with Georgia 4th. The season opener in 30 days is
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.